Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Friday morning, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We'll have TD with us at 8 o'clock. We'll get into the Titans with him, as the Titans are on the bye week this weekend. We'll see how much we can talk about it the rest of the show.
Yeah, that's fine. You and
it's annual fine. Tradition. Annual if tradition you want on the program.
Annual. I mean, it's yeah, but it's you use this term all the time. You try to trigger me. You and Liam McLeod's throwing up the NSYNC bye bye.
That was beautiful.
Yeah,
clip that up.
Yeah, there we go.
Yep, good stuff.
Oh God,
we'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad later this hour. As well, the Nashville Predators fall last night 3-1 at the hands of the Philadelphia Flyers. It was a game where they started really well. I mean, at one point, I think they were out shooting Philadelphia 9-1. They had out attempted them 22-3, and the game was 1-0 in the favor of the Predators. And then the game slowly started to become more even. Philadelphia had a few shifts where they turned things. And then they took over in the latter part of the game, and they end up skating away with the 3-1 win at Bridgestone Arena. It has been a tough week for the Predators. You have the regulation loss last night. You have the weird loss on Tuesday in Minnesota where the net gets knocked off and they just get awarded the goal. And I can tell you, there are some Predators people that are still quite upset.
Have you weighed in on that, by the way? I mean, we know Andrew Burnett told us yesterday, you know, obviously he wasn't happy with that.
Well, the interpretation of the rule is, I mean, I guess there's a little bit of subjectivity to it, but like to me, he didn't score on the next shot. So how many chances does he get? Like,
right.
If you can't just sit there and have five rebounds, can you? Like, I don't know. So I think they blew the call. I think they got it wrong. There's a lot of debate about this around the NHL.
Yeah.
A lot of debate. I mean, like Russo and Pierre LeBrun are going at each other. A lot of debate about this.
A little athletic on athletic.
Yeah. So you had that on Tuesday. I mean, Monday, you had the game where you got it to overtime, good comeback, and then you lose with like a second left in overtime. So it's been a tough week for the Nashville Predators. And now, Joe, you start to look at the standings, and again, it's very early. It's not like they're out of it or anything. But you are 5-7-4. Which means you've played 16 games and you won five of them to this point. Now, I know you've scrounged together some points in overtime, and it's better than the alternative, right, if you can stretch out some of these games to overtime. But the bottom line is you won five of your 16 games at the moment, and that is not going to get it done. It's not going to come close to getting it done. And I think we saw some frustration boil over in the locker room last night, led by Ryan O'Reilly, who was the lone goal scorer for the Predators last night, who, as we've talked about before on the show, is unusually hard on himself in losing performances by the Nashville Predators. And I think he probably took it to a different level last night. Here is a very frustrated Ryan O'Reilly after the game.
What scoreboard do you think here tonight?
Disappointing. Yeah, it's just disappointing.
Ryan, what's the most frustrating part about, you know, you guys come out hot and then you kind of just let it go?
Yeah, obviously a chance to take full control of the game. We didn't let them come back in, and they pushed back, and it didn't happen. I don't know, for myself, number one center, and just turn the puck over everywhere, and can't make a 6-foot pass to save my life. So you're not going to have much success if, you know, I'm playing pathetic like that. So it's stupid. I don't know the answer. I've had one good year in my career, and I don't have any answers. That's for sure.
You guys, you talked about it this morning. You guys spent a lot of time in the offensive zone. Are you happy with the process that you're seeing in the offensive zone right now? Where do you think you guys are there?
It's nice having the puck in the offensive zone, but if you don't win games, it's disappointing and pissed off. It's just, you want to win games. It's as simple as that. Yeah, it's better than defending the whole time, but better defend the whole time and win a game than the other way around. So it's, yeah, just as simple as that. Yeah, obviously, yeah, I don't remember much of what to say. Disappointed with myself. It's, you know, disappointed in the group. We gotta, you know, there's good things, but it's just, you know, we gotta find a way to win games. And yeah, I don't know what that is exactly.
That frustration, is it really just this game, or is it a cumulative effect of kind of things that have happened over the course of the season?
Yeah, I know other guys feel too. In the last few games, I've been making mistakes left and right that normally I don't do. So it's, yeah, I can't expect a win like that. yeah, it's frustration everywhere. But guys are working, a lot of guys are working and doing what they can. And just, you know, it falls, you know, on leadership and the big guys. We have to be the ones that get out of it. And, yeah, I'm definitely disappointed with that.
That was Ryan O'Reilly after the game last night.
I'm the worst player of all time.
I will say, like, I almost had to, like, look away from people last night. I was like, here he goes. Because, like, I've come to expect it. Like, I don't know that I've ever been around a player that, like, you know, if they lose a game walking into it, that he is going to put every last part of it on himself. And it, like, to an extreme level. But when he said, I don't know, I've only had one good year, I had to look away. I was like, I can't do this.
Come on.
I mean, the guy has played 1,168 games. He's got 834 career points. He's won a Stanley Cup. He's been a playoff MVP. He's probably, at least likely, going to the Hall of Fame.
I can't wait for that speech.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, I should have played basketball. Or maybe, you know, curling. I don't know. I suck at hockey. Thanks, though.
A lot of frustration last night. I've had one good year in my career. That was Ryan O'Reilly after the game last night. That's where things stand with him.
I've had like 9 good shifts in my going back to youth hockey. I counted them up. 9. Like, what?
I mean, I guess if you don't laugh, you have to cry a little bit. But
This guy was he was always from the start coming here. He was down on himself, self-deprecating. Right, that was quickly. You figured that out.
Yeah.
But like the Preds have turned him into like questioning his entire existence. What have you done to him, Preds?
I've had one good year. I've been in the league for 17 years. I've had one good one. Just amazing. Yeah, I mean, look, you know, I tweeted that quote out last night. You know, Lou Korak, who covers the Blues, is like, yep, I've heard that one a time or two before. So, like, this is a thing that he's done before. He obviously takes losing very, very hard. And you know, he had, you know, one pretty bad turnover last night where, I mean, you could hear it from the press box. He turned it over. He was yelling. He slammed the stick on the side of the boards before he hopped over. And I knew if they lost the game, he was going to be upset. I don't know if I quite expected that, but, man, O'Reilly. Look, I've tweeted the quote out. There's the video out there that Alex Doherty put out there where you can watch kind of his reaction. He's very frustrated after the game. Predators fans largely have looked at it and said, yeah, I freaking love this guy. Like, this guy cares. This guy's accountable. And by the way, he's played pretty well so far. Like,
yeah.
At this point in his career.
A really good start to the season.
Yeah. At this point in his career, he probably shouldn't be your number one center. I mean, he's on the doorstep of 35 years old. He's probably a pretty darn good number two center.
He wasn't supposed to be.
Exactly.
From the start. By now, he was not supposed to be.
But I think what I took away from all of that last night, digging through like the self, you know, the stuff that O'Reilly always does where he puts it on himself, what I took away from all of that last night is you can see it kind of slipping away a little bit. And I know that they're not out of it, but they are not dangerous enough offensively at the moment where if that doesn't change pretty dramatically, you're just not going to give yourself a shot. Like, you can't hang around in a Western Conference that is going to be really, really good yet again if you just can't score goals. And I think you're seeing them kind of realize that a little bit right now.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a bigger beyond the self-examination there. There's a larger frustration that is part of that. That's where he's going to go, but also that's how frustrated he is with everything, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, like you guys are saying, you're asking the questions, like when you have – when you have the puck, when you have that much ozone time and you still produce so little, usually that happens to teams that have no talent.
Right.
Right? This team has talent.
Old talent.
Yeah.
But talent.
But, I mean, they have a lot of accomplishment, a lot of achievement. But how dangerous are they now? What can they – I mean, what 5-on-5, you know? It's a slog.
I mean,
slog is like the official word of Nashville pro sports teams.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, I thought Minnesota on Tuesday, they looked really good for large stretches of that game. And then you look at the score of the end of it, and it's like, well, you had all that offensive zone time. You had some decent looks in the game. And what does it mean at the end of the day? You get to overtime, you lose the game, and you've scored twice. Last night, you dominated for the first, I don't know, 12, 15 minutes of the game. I mean, I don't even know if Philadelphia had the puck in the offensive zone for more than 30 seconds in the first 12 minutes of the game. and you got one goal to show for it. I mean, it's just that's where they're at right now. And, you know, it leads to the larger conversation of, you know, they're about to head to Sweden coming up next week. You know, Pittsburgh has been really good to start the year, so we'll see what that looks like. But they got Dallas coming in on Saturday. Obviously, that's going to be a tough game. They got to go on the road to the Rangers after that. And I can't figure the Rangers out so far this year, but we know the talent that they've got. I mean, there's a chance that, I mean, if you're not going to score more than one or two goals a game, you're just not going to be able to keep up with some of these teams. And, you know, they've done a good job getting some points out of some of these games. But they're just a team right now that you look at the rest of the Western Conference, and it just you know it. Like, you know, you watch them play and you know it. They just don't really have a shot. And I wonder what this all means, because you're seeing some frustration, I think, start to boil over a little bit. Stamkos got off the schneid in Minnesota with just a great goal. But, again, last night you're watching him and you're like, yeah, there's just not a whole lot of danger that's going on out there. And I just wonder where – Not where all this is leading, because if it keeps going this way, I think you're going to see O'Reilly's name start to come up a lot in trade conversations around the league. Stamkos, people are already talking about around the league as to what that's going to look like. I just wonder how far away we are from all of that if it continues this way.
Yeah, and you know, if you're in that camp, you can also look at this and say, you know, it's hard to argue with anything you said, but also it's like three breaks go the other way and we get the 2 points, you know, even in half of those overtime games. I mean, does it look that different? No, but it'd still be a little bit more like, okay, maybe this is a scratch and claw team, you know, that can hang in there. But when you keep losing those games like that, you know, it just kind of expedites the whole process.
A lot of your thoughts to get to on the Predators. We will do that coming up next. I've got some other thoughts that you look at what's going on with the roster right now, and it just makes it hard to imagine them snapping out of it, and I'll tell you what I mean by that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circa Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game. You got the Eagles taking on the Packers on Monday Night Football. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad later this hour, coming up at 7:45. Preds lose last night 3-1 to the Philadelphia Flyers. We are taking your thoughts on the Predators. A very harsh Ryan O'Reilly on himself after the game. And Joe, a couple of other things that I look at here when it comes to the Predators and what exactly I'm seeing out there. You've got the veteran players that we mentioned. Stamkos is struggling. You know, they've had different guys throughout the year that have struggled. You know, on the defensive side of things, Yossi's been out, Willsby's been out, and they've held it together okay back there. Again, like, I watched Perbix play every night, and I'm like, this guy's unbelievable. Like, he's really good. You know, Haig has been, you know, kind of getting back into the flow of things. It's been hit or miss with him so far, so we'll see what that looks like moving forward. The other part of this is, like, some of their younger guys – that they really need to get going here. Some of them are. Matt Wood, I tell you, man, he looks really good. Like, and I know it's still very early, a very small sample size, and sometimes this happens, Joe, where guys come out of the gate for, you know, first 10, 15, 20 games, and they look really good, and then they fade away as the year goes on because they're dealing with, you know, an NHL schedule and – particularly this year, the condensed schedule of it all for the first time. So we'll see if there's, you know, some staying power here with Matthew Wood and if he can keep it going. But he looks really good right now. A guy that they have put a lot on this year that they really needed, looking at their roster, to be very good, that has been basically a no-show so far this year, Svechkov. I mean, Svechkov's got 1 point in 14 games. It's an assist. And it just, there's not a whole lot going on when he's got the puck out there right now. And I to the point last night where I was like, they might need to send him back to Milwaukee for a little while to get him going down there, because it's just – it's not happening for him right now at the NHL level. And you looked at their roster heading into the year, Joe, like, they really needed him to be a guy that takes a step forward, because they're so thin at center right now. And it just – it's not happening for him offensively at the moment.
Yeah, and there's just too – there's just been too many – outcomes like that, right? I mean, Matthew Wood, I agree, big, rangy, just looks like he belongs out there. You know, we heard what Andrew Brunette said about him yesterday, like his poise with the puck and everything. You know, so that's great. You hope it lasts. You need way more of those than, you know, Svechkov is like, how many guys have we had this discussion about generally, in recent years where it's like, you know, even to the point where we used to every week ask David Poyle on this show, hey, what's up with Tomasino? You know, what's he going to come up? I mean, it's just so, and they were, like you said.
By the way, for the people who told me he was going to be the greatest thing on earth, I mean, he's played 7 games for Pittsburgh. He has 1 assist and is a healthy scratch every other night. So,
and that's weird too. Someone who left here isn't absolutely setting the world on fire and with another team in the NFL or NHL. But no, it's there was so much talk about Svechkov in the offseason. Like it seems like a leap, you know, but I would have expected a little better than this.
Yeah, like I think earlier in the year he was probably trying too hard, and there were some plays available to him that he just didn't take because he was trying to do too much. And you know, you got to pass over to your right, and you're trying to go through two guys. It's just sometimes that works, sometimes most of the time it doesn't in the NHL. And then since then, I think there's probably a little bit of a confidence issue. There's just not a whole lot going on out there when he's got the puck right now. And unfortunately, with where they are, like you look at their center depth, and like I said, O'Reilly's having a good start to the year, but O'Reilly should not be your number one center at this stage of his career. And your other options right now are Svechkov, Eric Halla, who was also nowhere near a number one center at this stage of his career, has never been a number one center in his career, or you can like screw around and move Stamkos from the wing to the center, which they've publicly stated they do not want to do and already have had to do it a couple of times this year. So they're just in a really bad spot right now at center. And we've talked about this a billion times, but it's impossible to win on a consistent basis in the NHL if you're bad at that spot. And right now they're bad at that spot. There's no other way about it.
I mean, it's just depressing, I would think, for Preds fans that like all the things we talked about all off season as concerns, it's just exactly how it's played out. And I understand that it's not easy to find an answer, like at some point Brady Martin, you know, and all that, but like it's just, again, go back to, we're talking O'Reilly today, go back to the day that they signed him. I mean, I think I would say that Barry Trotz on that day was like, you know, basically like exciting about the signing, and the downshift is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know? Well, they haven't been able to downshift him at all.
Well, and we've gotten to the point now where Brunette is starting to say like some of the same things he said last year in terms of like, well, there, you know, there's a certain way you got to play, and when you don't do it on a consistent basis, like you're just making mistakes that are going to lead to losses. And he was talking last night about how, you know, the effort's there, which I agree. Like, it's not like they're not trying out there. The effort is there, but you know, sometimes there's a little bit too much of wanting to do your own thing because the offense isn't working for you. And I can't tell you how many times I heard that last year of wanting to do your own thing out there and forcing things that aren't there. And just, you know, the natural question at some points, and I think we're there with a lot of people and I understand it, is, you know, you've tried a lot of things. You've tried, you know, bringing up some new players. You've tried every different line combination imaginable at this point over the last couple of years. At what point do you just look at it and say, you know what, even if we still believe Andrew Brunette's going to end up being a really good coach in this league one day, do you reach a point here pretty soon where you just have to do it? Like, you just have to pull the plug and see if a coaching change can ignite something here. Will it ignite something? I mean, I kind of have my doubts because of what I just talked about of, like, I think there's only so much you're going to be able to do when your center depth looks like this. But maybe you do reach that point at some point here in the not-too-distant future.
Yeah, in this league, you do. It does. They do. That's what happens. I'm keeping an open mind, you know, on Barry and how he goes about things and how he views things as a coach who got afforded so much patience. But, yeah, I mean, I think I doubt it would make that much of a difference. But I totally understand the line of thinking.
Right? Yeah.
Because it just doesn't seem to be, again, if it, at this point, if it's some of the same things that you're talking about, you know, then, okay, well, then try to do something different with the same players.
Well, and again, it goes back to a lot of what we talked about in the offseason of they are caught between two ends of the spectrum right now, where they got a bunch of older guys at forward, right? Like O'Reilly's approaching 35. Stamkos is 35. Marchessault's in his mid-30s. You know, Forsberg looks great this last week or so. You know, he's in his early 30s. Like, they've got a bunch of guys that are in the 30s. They got a bunch of guys either here or coming up that are 20, 21, 22, 23, and they are real light on impactful forwards, especially, that are, you know, 25, 26, 27. Like, McCarron is in that age range. Cole Smith is in that age range.
Your grinders.
But those guys have done their job, I think, really well so far this year. And the penalty kill, for sure, is missing Cole. Like, you make all the Cole Smith jokes you want. He's been really good on the penalty kill this year, and they are missing him right now on the penalty kill. But again, like, those guys, as important as they are and the roles that they play, I think they've been really good at them. Those ain't going to be the guys that are winning you and losing you a whole lot of games.
No, and, you know, between the two timelines, no doubt, but also I still – like, if you're between two timelines and you know that you've got reinforcements coming among those young guys and it's going to be, like, difference-making NHL players, okay, well, that's one thing. I don't know that.
Yeah.
We don't know that.
No.
I mean, the history suggests, you know, skepticism – would be warranted there. The texter asked, when's the last time we drafted anybody who is a star for this team? I mean, I guess that would be Yossi.
A star? I mean, depends on your definition, but Saros would be there. I mean, as a goalie. But
that's true.
I mean, Saros, Yossi. You didn't draft Forsberg. So, yeah, it's been a minute.
Yeah. Not great.
615-737-1025. Our phone number. A lot more of your thoughts to get to on the Preds. We will do that coming up next. The Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. At 7:45, TD coming up at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Commodores taking on Auburn tomorrow afternoon. Pregame at 1:30 on 94.9 The Fan. Kickoff at 3 o'clock. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly's Steakhouse, and Smoky Mountain Tops. Also, check out our NFL game of the week this Sunday. The Patriots taking on the Buccaneers at noon on 102.5 The Game. NFL game of the week presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Macero. And 12 South. We'll have the Rex Rant coming up here in just a few minutes. TD at 8 o'clock. A lot of your thoughts to get to on the Predators. We will do that now. One texter says, it ain't just the center, which is a huge concern. I don't know why management thought this team would be better when the older players are getting older. This is a slow team, which doesn't translate in today's NHL. You know, I mean, Barry Trotz said it in the offseason that they're going to be better this year, right? Like, he feels like, or felt like, you looked at last year, everything that could go wrong did go wrong. That was the perception, at least. And I kind of agree with that, right? Like, it was bad last year. And I do watch them play this year, and I'm like, well, like, they do look like they've got a little bit more of a clue out there. Like, defensively, they're definitely better. They spent a lot of time in the offensive zone last night. But at the end of the day, nobody really cares about any of that stuff. You can't score, right? Like, you can talk about generating some chances and looking good in the offensive zone, but if at the end of the night the only thing you've got to show for it is two goals or one goal, it doesn't really matter at that point what you look like. So I would agree, like, it's not a very fast team, and I think you've heard them basically admit that. Like, Andrew Brunet said a couple weeks ago, we are not a rush team, and we got to stop acting like we're a rush team at times. Which tells me that, I mean, clearly they don't believe that they're equipped to just go up and down the ice with some of these teams. You know, how quickly is that going to change? I don't know. Like, I think that's probably more of a longer-term project to bring in younger players that get you a little faster. You know, they've played 16 games already, which is amazing that we're at the 16-game mark on November the 7th. But that's where we are. You know, they've got Dallas coming in on Saturday. If it keeps going the way that it's going, you're going to start to see them lose some ground in the standings here. And I wonder at that point, they're not going to give up or anything like that, nor should they. But I do think we're probably reaching the point here where you need to start to see whether it's a Kimmel. You know, they called up LaRue. He hadn't played yet. We'll see what that looks like if he gets in there on Saturday. Like, you need to start to see, I think, some of these younger guys come in there and just see if they can give you something, right? Like, some sort of spark. You know, does Molendijk get in there at some point on defense? Like, I'm probably more worried about forward right now than I am about defense. But still, like, at some point, I think you need to see start to see some of these guys trickle into the lineup a little bit more on a more consistent basis.
Yeah, I guess it's like, does that signify, okay, we're thinking about things beyond being competitive and making the playoffs if you do that
stuff. Well, I think you got to be realistic of where you are. Like, the bottom line is if they play this way the rest of the year, they're going to miss the playoffs by like 14, 15 points. Like, it just, I think they're good enough. They are good enough defensively at times. Not all the time, which has been kind of interesting to watch. But at times, they are good enough defensively, and their goalie continues to play really well. That's going to keep you in a lot of games. It's kept them in basically every game this year. Like, I can't think of very many games this year at all where they've just been mopped. And think about that last year. There were a lot of games last year where they just got mopped.
Yeah.
So I haven't seen a whole lot of that so far this year. So they're hanging in there, but they're also just not threatening. And I think at some point, like, they didn't trade O'Reilly last year. They basically treated him as if he had a no movement clause. How are you going to handle that this year? Like, to me, this is probably the year where you need to strike on that. He's about to be 35 years old. There is going to be a ton of interest on him if around the league. Everybody needs a center. I know the Predators need as many centermen as they could get, but this is year three of a four-year deal for him. This is the year you need to move him. Like, if it doesn't get better, you need to move him and get some assets for him. I have no idea about Stamkos. Like, Stamkos has got an expensive contract. I know the cap's going up. You could make the case to me that in another place with guys that are more equipped to get him the puck, that he could be way better than what we've seen in Nashville so far. But is anybody willing to take that deal? And if they're not, how much money are you willing to retain over the next couple of years?
Yeah, it's going to be some, right? Well, there's no doubt.
You'd have to think, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just – I don't know if I thought we'd be having this discussion a week into November, but like you said, the thing is, it's accelerated with the schedule too, right? Yeah. You're just further along down the road than you normally would be. But George here says the whole discussion is premised on the notion the Preds could make some noise in the postseason if only they got in. That's not true. I don't think that's what the premise here. He says, let Barry and Bruno cook, trade some vets at the deadline, get another high-end draft pick, move off Bruno in April. Would be rash to fire him now. Yeah, like, I don't know that there's any benefit. It's just usually what happens in this league. So, like, you come to expect it.
Yeah.
To this point, I mean, like, we thought there was a pretty good chance that he was fired at the end of last year.
Yeah.
Right? But again, I don't know. I do not know if Barry Trotz is going to go that route. I think it makes sense at some point to probably try that, but there's also, like, the limitations are what they are. I just don't know what, somebody's talking about whatever, bring in whoever. And it's like, what is whatever coach you can come up with going to change in terms of changing the math with this guy?
There's a lot of people talking about Pete DeBoer coming in here. I don't know why Pete DeBoer would take this job right now. Like, I don't
think he would. He takes jobs that you can win at right away.
I think Pete
and
DeBoer.
He does.
And Pete, like, we've seen enough from DeBoer at this point to kind of know that he's got a shelf life. Like, he comes in and there's pretty immediate results. It's kind of similar to LaViolette over the years. It's pretty immediate results, and then he wears on people. And in the latest case, you, in a spectacular setting, you just sit down your franchise goalie after he gives up two shots. It did not go over well around the league.
That guy's not good. So,
yeah, like, it's, I don't think the board thing is going to happen here. So again, look, Barry Trotz marches to the beat of his own drum. I think a lot of times that's a good thing. Sometimes maybe it's not. I don't know what that's going to mean for Andrew Brunette. I said it a billion times. A lot of organizations would have fired Brunette after last year. A lot of organizations, if it doesn't get better soon, would fire him pretty soon. Does that mean the Predators will? I don't know. I'm not convinced of that. Like, Barry Trotz has been incredibly patient. And I know a lot of fans don't want to hear that, and I understand it. But I'm just trying to operate in reality here. Like, just because a lot of organizations either would have already or would be on the doorstep of firing Andrew Brunette, I don't know that that necessarily means that Barry Trotz is going to do that. I don't know.
Yeah, Steve from Franklin says, the further Trotz allows us to drag on with his guy, the more damage he's going to do to people's perception of him, which has already taken a hit lately. There's more than enough data to know things are not going to magically get better somehow. Well, I agree with your last part. Again, it's like it's just a question. You know, again, it's like how you want to blame, who you want to blame for that. In this league, coaches just they get changed out. I mean, that's what happens. You know, right or wrong. Sometimes it's the right decision. Sometimes it's probably just because that's what everybody does.
Yeah.
But
I don't know, the hiring of Brunette. Sorry to cut you off there, Joe. Sorry. Just like I thought, just the philosophy to hire him was to increase the offense, right? Kind of his system, the offensive system, get the offense going back and forth, up and down.
Yep.
And so we've completely flipped that, apparently. We're going 180. So he's trying to coach something that he was not brought here for, or the roster does not match his skill set as a coach.
I think that's definitely the case.
Yeah. And so something, you know, there's something weird there. And, you know, Trotz has talked about, oh, we want Brunette to grow, a young coach, grow with the team, that kind of stuff. Well, you know, the roster doesn't quite fit that, you know. Are you trying to win or are you trying to not win? That's where, you know, it's really tricky with the message that they're trying to send here about what they're trying to do. And I don't know, do you guys buy into the rumors or whatever that would you be surprised if Trotz like took over as coach?
Well, it's it, like
people are not shutting that down.
No, I mean, Elliot Friedman was asked about that yesterday on DVD and he didn't shut it down. Like the idea of does it get to a point where
like Trotz is Trotz the style of coach that needs to coach a team like this, right? If that's the way he's going to go, if that's the way he's going to talk about, oh, we got to play this shutdown defensive style, we can't go back and forth, well, I'm not sure you got the right coach for that.
It's a, I mean, it's a fair thing to bring up. I mean, I don't know that – I mean, their roster right now clearly is not conducive to winning a whole lot of hockey games. What is that going to mean for Andrew Brunette in the big picture discussion? Like, look, I'll be honest, it's hard for me to imagine him surviving this if it continues to go this way. And, you know, right now with where they're at center, it's just going to take a dramatic turnaround that I'm not sure is possible based on their center depth at the moment. So like, it feels inevitable to me at some point here that he's going to end up paying the price for it.
Yeah. Then the Trotz idea there is, I mean, what would Preds fans – like, what is the reaction of this fan base if that's how it were to go? Barry behind the bench.
I don't know.
And doing it all.
Yeah, I don't know. My guess is probably not a very good one to start.
Yeah. I mean, look, you lose enough and, you know, people get mad at you. I mean,
well, and by the way, as somebody pointed out, and, you know, it's fair to point this out, I would also say the roster – situation from in terms of how things are structured are incredibly different. But like Brunette took over for Joel Quenneville in Florida after all that crap went down, right? And we know what happened with Joel Quenneville. And he was the interim coach. He coached them to a President's Trophy season. They won a round in the playoffs, and then they fired him after that.
And they lost to the Lightning, and then
lost to the Lightning.
Didn't get the job.
They hired Paul Maurice. By the way, it's worked out pretty well for them hiring Paul Maurice.
Yeah. I wouldn't look at that. Some people take that as some like huge indictment of him. I disagree.
Yeah, I would disagree with that too. But, you know, Joel Quenneville's back, and he's back in the game, and Anaheim's 9-3-1. They've scored 7 goals 4 times so far. Now, again, go look at their roster. They got young guys galore, which is why Quenneville took that job, by the way. They're going to be really good for a long time. Coming up here pretty soon. It's a roster that's got a lot of 21, 22, 23-year-olds that are really good. So they're going to be good for a while. It's a different situation. But it doesn't help in all this when you look at it and you're like, well, Quenneville was doing the job in Florida and doing it at a high level. And then all that crap that went on, Brunette took over for him. They fired him after that. And now Quinville's immediately back in, and the Ducks are doing nothing but winning right now. There's a lot of ammo if you're a Predators fan right now to look at that you can point to if you want to.
Yeah. And some do want to. And I get it.
Yeah. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. This is Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment. Let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
What do you call him? Sloppy Toppy?
Have some more Sloppy Joe. Browns.
The bye week. The bye week.
Bye, bye, bye.
You may hate me, but it ain't no lie.
Bye, 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 bye.
I mean, Noah Webster was a fine patriot. Tennessee fans are about to murder Josh Heupel.
To me, this is the dumbest possible outcome.
Literally, my brain is melting from this. Literally.
What's up? This is Scott Stapp from Creed, and you're listening to Robbie and Rex Road on 102.5 The Game.
It is time for the Rex Rant, brought to you by Functional Medicine of Tennessee. Rise up to better health. Check them out at functionalmedicineoftennessee.net. Joseph, the floor is yours.
God dang it, this two-computer thing is absolutely killing me. Because I actually...
I think you need a third.
I mean, this is just insane. I need to, because of that mashup, I need to go find this, which was pretty good today from... here we go. Okay. Yeah. So this is Dustin from Hopkinsville. Well, I just heard the news today. Seems the bye week is here to stay. Tears roll down Rex Rhodes' face with arms wide open. And on and on. He has more lyrics, too. But that was pretty good, Dustin.
That was pretty good.
Good job, buddy. Okay, so we can keep going with the Preds. A lot of reaction to that. But I have a quick thing I need to say. I think I've done this before. It's very hard to find a rant where you haven't done. You tell me. I think I've done this before.
Okay.
Have I talked about what young ladies are wearing in public?
I don't know that you've done that. I can't say for sure, but I don't know that you've done that.
I mean, I have to be I gotta be careful in terms of I don't want to tick anyone in particular off, okay? Yeah. But... Yeah, you know, I took my daughter and her friends to a concert the other night, and I just how much more can we go in the direction of, hey, the best thing you can do as a young woman in the world is to wear as little as possible. is this ever going to change?
Yeah, I'm not looking forward
to that. Is this trend ever going to change?
I don't know. I don't think so.
How could it keep going in this direction?
I don't know.
And I know that I'm at a total old man yelling at cloud, all that stuff. It is different. It is different when you have kids and they grow up and things like that. But I had two boys who came through, and so you have totally different concerns. And I just don't understand why it must be this way.
Did you see the concert they went to the other night? What that person was wearing?
I really no didn't.
It's like, okay, yeah. It kind of may tell you something.
Okay, yeah. I mean, look, I understand. I'm not saying that everyone should be ensconcing themselves in velvet robes and wearing huge oversized sweatshirts and jammy pants. I'm not saying that, but it's like I really don't. I really don't like this trend, and it bothers me.
Well, mine is just hey, it's cold,
Yeah.
Yeah. It's getting colder out there.
Well, yeah, and I did point out.
Self-preservation?
I did point out a little bit of hey, notice some people here going to the concert are wearing jackets. It's 52. But, hey, you do you. Again, I'm trying to be, I don't want to be That's already embarrassing enough to probably
Monday,
to be my child is probably embarrassing enough as it is. So, you know what I mean?
Well, maybe.
But I'm just saying. It's kind of ridiculous. And it's like I try to remove myself from – try to remove yourself from just being the overprotective parent type thing and just look at it objectively. Just look around and you're like, these – kids or whatever, they're 13 or whatever, they're 15, but even adults, out on Broadway, it's I don't know, you tell me, man. I'm all for, look, let's put Charmed on. Is Alyssa Milano on Charmed? I don't
no Charmed on
no
Friday.
Charmed on Friday, okay.
Unfortunately.
But it's just I don't know, I feel like maybe we need to bounce back. A lot of people my age used to complain because it was oh, yeah, when we were in our prime in the 90s in college, all the girls were wearing flannels, and then all of a sudden, it's total BS. But I was there's something to be said for a little variety.
Yeah.
A little bit left of the imagination? Maybe. Ethan from
Lawrenceburg. Plaster this rant on Broadway for sure. I mean, I will say, if you've never been people watching, every now and then I'll head out of Bridgestone Arena after a hockey game, and I just look down the street. I'm like, man, there's a lot of stuff going on on that street down there. What the world's going on out there?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe I should go out on Broadway with like a microphone. You are all, you must repent. Repent now.
A lot of wooing.
Yeah, there is a lot of wooing. Ethan from Lawrenceburg says, we're all going to be nudists before long. Another texter says, I have two daughters and fully endorse this rant. Thank you. Brian says, you're not being an old fart. It's disturbing when you see women dressed in such a way where they might as well just... Okay, I'm not going to read the rest of the text.
Yeah, I was hoping you'd stop.
Please stop. Stop. Nate says, I hope the trend moves on about 13 years for my current two-year-old. And again, I'm not saying everybody wear loose flowing robes and stuff. I'm not like that much of a robe. Nice. Not like a total prude, but it's like, and I know it's like, you get, it's selfish. So you have a kid, but I think in general for society, why not try something different?
I agree. I'm with you. Change it up a little bit.
Yeah. Change it up a little bit.
You know, like
pants.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, just something.
Like, pants that don't have like holes in the jeans either, as you know, Saban pointed out a few years ago, which is now, you know, it's a fashion thing.
Yeah, way to be up on the times there, Nick.
615-737-1025 is our phone number.
Teron, we never talk Preds. I'm sorry.
We'll be with us.
Ranted about this.
Coming up next, we'll get his thoughts on all things Titans. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.